Now, I've titled the message this morning, A Time of Tribulation, The Four Horsemen. The Time of Tribulation, The Four Horsemen. I don't think we are quite ready for the time of tribulation, but it is coming. But many years ago, Billy Graham wrote a book about the approaching hoofbeats of the four horsemen. We are getting closer and closer to that day. The Word of God is the only literature that accurately outlines the future. There are all kinds of forecasts for the future by people, but many of them are not anywhere near correct. But the only literature that tells us exactly what's going to happen, according to his timing, is the Word of God. As we all know, our triune God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, created the heavens and the earth in the first place. He created Adam and Eve. We aren't here by some sort of evolutionary process. We are here by the very act of creation. And we know that he placed them in the Garden of Eden, and their progeny, or their offspring, they are going to populate the earth, and those were our first mother and father. And then, of course, sin entered the world, and the paradise that God had created for humans in which we were to live was destroyed at that point, and then sin has been with us ever since. Almighty God provided, down through the centuries, prophets and priests and kings to distribute his word to the people. Sometimes the people listened and accepted, and sometimes the people listened or didn't listen and did not accept. In a way that we don't fully understand, the Word of God tells us that God knows the end from the beginning. Now, if you and I were writing that, or just put it personally, if I was writing that, I'd say, we know the beginning, and we know as we're going along, and eventually we'll know the end. But that's not what the Word of God tells us. The Word of God tells us that God knows the end from the beginning. How he knows this, but he knows it. I don't know how he knows, but he's all-powerful, all-knowledgeable, and he knows exactly where we've been, where we're going, and where we are going to be. God's wisdom informs us that when a person dies physically, his or her soul, spirit, mind, and personality is going to go out into eternity. Now, for those who put their trust in Christ as Savior and Lord, we're going to go out into eternity with Christ our Savior. Soon and very soon, he's coming to get us. Now, for all of those, and there are multiplied millions of them, all of those who do not put their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, they also are going to go out into eternity. But they're not going to go into eternity with Jesus. They're going to go to eternity in a place called hell. Now, hell is not a very pleasant place. It's a place for us to shun. Heaven is a place for us to want to go to, but hell is a place that we do not want to go to. People don't understand that there is a hell. There are people to whom I have chatted over the years who said, I do not believe in hell. I've asked them if they believe in heaven. Maybe yes, maybe no. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter whether you and I believe in heaven or hell. What matters is there is a heaven and there is a hell. And there's only one way that people can get to heaven, and that's by placing all of their trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Now, God's Word tells us a great deal about what's going to happen in the future. And in many cases, it is in our future, not just in the future of the people of the Old or the New Testament, but also in our future. For instance, there is a time coming. Now, the Scripture talks about the last days, or in the last days, and we see that over and over again, and that's a little clue for us. A little clue for us to know. It's not talking about the then present time when it was written, not talking about our present time. It's talking about the last days when we get there. And believe me, we are getting closer and closer to those last days even now. And what we know by the Word of God is that there is a magnificent event going to come, and it's known as the rapture. Another word for the rapture is departure, the departure of every true believer in Jesus Christ. I was talking to someone last week at a nursing home, and this person said to me, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the rapture, I put all my trust in him, but I don't understand how the rapture is going to happen. Join the club. We all don't know how it's going to happen. We know that it's preposterous in the mind of man, but not in the mind of God. God allows it to happen. He will allow it to happen. That trumpet will sound, and every true believer in Jesus Christ from ages past, from Pentecost until the rapture, everywhere in the world, wherever they are, dead or alive, the dead will come out of their graves, and those who are alive will be suddenly transformed into a body to last for eternity, and we will be moving quickly, I think, at the sound of light, at the speed of light at least, not the sound, the speed of light, that we will be there with Jesus almost instantaneously. What a praise God item that will be. But now, when the Church of Christ is taken out of this world, there's going to be a great vacuum. There's going to be a great loss of people. People will be going around and wondering what's going to happen. And what many of them do not know is that that will be shortly after the rapture, not immediately, but shortly thereafter, there will be a time of tribulation. And that tribulation will last for a period of 7 years. And believe me, for those that are alive during those 7 years, it is going to be the worst 7 years of their entire existence. It is incredible, all the things that are going to happen, because it is a time of judgment. It's the judgment of Almighty God upon all who refuse to put their trust in Him, put their trust in Him through Jesus. Now, following that 7 year tribulation period, at the end of it, there's going to be a great battle. That battle is going to occur, and then there's going to be, after that, Jesus will enter and win, and He will begin His 1,000 year reign. Praise be to God. Now, in years past, or months past, when we talked about this, I suggested we keep the acronym CARTA, C-A-R-T-A, CARTA 1000, in mind, because it helps you and me understand what is happening and where we are. The C-A stands for the Church Age. We are presently in the Church Age. It began at Pentecost. It's going to come to an end, and the end will be at the time of the rapture. So we are in the Church Age. Then comes the rapture, then comes the tribulation, and then comes the battle of Armageddon. And following that, we see the word one, numbers 1,000, and that will be the millennial reign of Christ. Now, you know, when you think about it, according to Scripture, we, the Church of Jesus Christ, are going to be involved with Jesus during the millennial reign of Jesus here on earth. I think our home will be the New Jerusalem, and we'll be going back and forth on assignment from the New Jerusalem hovering above the earth down to earth to do whatever it is Jesus wants us to do. Paul tells us that we're even going to be judging angels. That's really amazing to me that we're to be doing that. But we will be also used by the Lord in His administration here on earth. I can hardly imagine what's going on, but what we do know is that it is going to happen. Back in the year 1215, 808 years ago, King John of England allowed the Magna Carta to be introduced. The Magna Carta was a document, was a proclamation from the king and from the parliament at the time, the House of Lords, and it said that the king and his government are not above the law. Now, prior to that time, the king always thought he was above the law. The law applied to everybody else, but not to him. But the Magna Carta, Magna means great, Carta means charter, and so in our words today. And so this was a magnificent, a mighty charter or chart that was given to the people, that they, from that point on, and all of the democratic systems throughout the world refer back to the Magna Carta. But I refer to what's coming as the Magna Carta, because it's going to be an absolutely great event. It's a great charter, the fact that the Church of Jesus Christ is going to be taken out of here, and Jesus is going to come to rule on this earth for 1,000 years. Praise be to God. Now, this morning, and for a few weeks, the Lord willing, I'm going to refer to the T that appears in the acronym, the word, the letter referring to the word tribulation. And during that time, when we look at this, we're going to see through the book of Revelation primarily, we're going to see some people that are most inspiring, and we're also going to see the most infamous characters of all time. As mentioned, the tribulation is the future 7 year period during which there will be unspeakable horrors that will take place. Now, let me tell you something. I'm probably going to repeat this again before the morning is over. But God presents all of this in His Word for us to know. He doesn't present it to us to frighten us or to scare us. He puts it there so that we will know. The Church of Jesus Christ knows things that the world does not know. We know, because of the Word of God, what our governments do not know. Some of our governments think that they are the be-all and end-all. I think sometimes they even forget about the Magna Carta, that the government, the parliament, is not above the law. Some of our country parliaments or democratic processes or dictators, whoever they are, think they are above the law. We are not above the law. They think they know what's happening, and they are engineering the people of the population of their country to go in a certain direction. And in many cases, those directions are absolutely against the Word of God. And I can tell you they're going to be in big trouble. And this day of tribulation, this day of judgment by the Father, God the Father, is going to come. Now, there may be people in our congregation who don't know that. There may be people in our congregation who say, good grief, the kind of life that I've been living over the past number of years has been nothing but tribulation. Well, I can understand some of us are going through certain modes of tribulation, but it is nothing like the tribulation that is going to come. It's going to be here, and it is engineered by none other the fallen angel who is Satan, Lucifer, who became the devil. Lucifer, who became Satan. And he's going to have two primary henchmen working for him. There'll be a world dictator, and there will be a world religious leader. Now, mind you, even though the church is gone, just think of all the influence that the church has had over the centuries. Churches, they began worshiping together. Churches, they began hospitals. Churches, they began educational institutions. So think about all the good work that has been done by the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the centuries. And then all of a sudden, that church is not going to be here. Its influence is not going to be here. The Word of God, in the form of a Bible, will still be here. And if people turn to it, bless them for doing so. It's going to be a time of terrible tribulation. And during that time, many are going to die for their then newfound faith. There will be two witnesses who will be here on earth, sent by God for a special message out of Jerusalem to all the people on earth. And after their ministry of 3.5 years, they are going to be killed. Their bodies are going to lay there on the ground for 3.5 days. And then miraculously, the Spirit of God is going to enter them, and they're going to be taken up to glory. Also, during that tribulation time, the world is not without its light. Christians have gone. The church is gone. But it's not without its light, because God provides 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 times 12,000, 144,000, who will be Jewish evangelists going throughout Israel and throughout the world, presenting the light in a world that's going to be very, very dark. Only our Lord knows the actual end from the beginning. Nobody else does. You and I don't. But God does, and He has given us insight in His Word. Be prepared. I was with the Boy Scouts of Canada for many years, and our motto was, and the Girl Guides was, be prepared. Somebody asked the founder one time, be prepared for what? And he said, be prepared for any old thing. Well, that's just about it. But you and I need to be prepared, because one of these days, that trumpet is going to sound. And if you're a believer in Christ, you're going to hear it, and you'll be with Him. And then there are those who are left behind, and they are going to go through this great period of tribulation. Now, let's take a look at the Word of God. We find this in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 1219, but also you'll see the words on the screen. Let us hear the Word of God. I, that would be John, watched as the Lamb speaks the first of seven seals. Then I heard, I missed a word there. I, John, watched as the Lamb opened the first of seven seals. Then I heard one of the four living creatures say in a voice like thunder, come. I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider had a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror, bent on conquest. Now, I've just spent 3 days at our assembly, and if it doesn't appear that I'm tired, My mix-up of the sentences tells you I'm tired. But anyway, just forgive me. I'll get through it, and so will you before the morning is over. Verse 3, when the Lamb opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, come. Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. When the Lamb opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come. I looked, and there before me was a black horse. Its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. When the Lamb opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come. I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by the sword, famine and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now here's the part I said I might repeat again. And what I'm repeating is this. These words of the Lord are given to us for our information, not to frighten us, not to scare us. We will not be frightened or scared when we place our trust in Jesus. One of the hymns the worship team was singing this morning about Jesus through the storm. And immediately I was reminded of an artist's painting that had a robin on a cliffside sitting over her nest with her wings over her chicks. And the storm was blowing away like he couldn't believe. And yet this robin had peace and the chicks had peace in the midst of the storm because she was fully protecting her chicks. That's the way it is with you and with me. The Lord is protecting you and me. We are covered with his wings, so to speak. So these words are to give us information so that we will know what's going to happen. We may not know all the details, but we'll know enough to know what is taking place and what is in our future. As we look back in history, I think of two biblical personages who heard the word of the Lord and followed it. Now, there were many others, but I think of Noah. Can you think of Noah in his day when he was there? Apparently, we understand there was no rain as we know it, and as it may be coming this afternoon, no rain. And yet he was told to build an ark. It took him years to build this ark. He built the ark, all listening to the word of God. And even though he couldn't understand what was before him, he nonetheless obeyed, and he built the ark. Then the floods came, and then he and others were saved. The second character we find in Scripture is a man by the name of Joseph. And Joseph attuned his heart to the word of God. Yes, he went through some tribulation. He went through tribulation being sold as a slave, ending up in Egypt, away from his own country of Israel, away from his own family, and he was there. And yet he stayed attuned to the word of God. And as a result, he ended up saving all of Egypt, and in fact, saving the land of Egypt from a famine that took place for 7 years. Just absolutely amazing, this man, Joseph. Likewise, if you and I know what is coming, we can live our lives accordingly. And vitally important to you and to me is to never forget that we are to pray for our unsaved family members and unsaved friends and neighbors. We need to pray for our government. We need to pray for all who are moving in the wrong direction. That's what we are called upon to do, because we know some of the end from the beginning. We know, because of the word of God, what is ahead. And so we need to pray for our people, because let me tell you something. I do not know anybody that I would like to have go to hell. I want them to be saved from the fires of hell and into the glory of heaven. And the only way in which this will happen is if they put their trust in Jesus. In the sixth chapter of Revelation, the first four of seven seals are broken to reveal the events that will initiate the 7 years of trouble, the 7 years of tribulation here on earth. Our passage of Scripture this morning is all about four horses and their riders, often referred to as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The word apocalypse is a meaning for destruction or damage, an awesome or catastrophic event. There are a series of catastrophic events that will be happening during the tribulation period. There's the rider on a white horse, the rider on a red horse, the rider on a black horse, and a rider on the pale horse. Now, just some words about each of these horses. The white horse. When Rome's generals went out from Italy, went out from Rome to conquer the land, when they conquered a land, they would come back to Rome, and they would be on a white stallion, and they would ride into the city of Rome in great glory. Thousands of people would come out to pay accolade to all that they had done in this conquering. They would come to indicate that they had conquered and to be rewarded under the great admiration of the citizens. But in the setting of Revelation in chapter 6, we get the picture of a person on the white horse, of a warlike hero. He is out to conquer. This rider is none other than the one who is chiefly against Christ, called the Antichrist. That is who it is. The rider on this white horse is not Jesus. Later on, Jesus comes on a white horse, along with all the host of heaven, including us. I believe we're all coming on horses, so if you've never ridden a horse, you'll learn to ride it then. But anyway, we'll be coming back with him to rule. But this white horse carries this world conqueror who's coming in. He is the Antichrist. He comes promising to bring peace in the midst of global turmoil. Now think, the church is gone. There is great turmoil. There is great confusion. When families, just think of the families in represented in our congregation. If all of our family members are not believers, they're going to be left behind. There's going to be great concern and great chaos throughout the world as the church leaves. I find it very thought-provoking that our present existing world isn't moving in the direction of the Word of God, but they are moving away from the Word of God. Now, since the rapture occurs, I believe, before the riding in of this evil personage, the world is in great turmoil, and accordingly, the world will be looking for someone to rule, someone to take charge. We hear it today. We hear it in the finance world. We hear it in the economic world. We hear it in the business world. We hear it in the political world. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had some world ruler who would come in and be a benevolent dictator, and he would tell us all what we're to do and when we're to do it? Well, this person is coming. His eloquence will absolutely mesmerize the masses. Millions will come to flock to him and believe in what he has to say. And what's worse in all of this, there's another man who will be here as the world religious leader, and he'll be pointing people to the world political leader. That's all going to happen during the tribulation period. But the word of the Lord is clear. This rider on a white horse in the first part of the book of Revelation is not a hero. In fact, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Believers know the true identity of this rider. However, believers, I believe, will not be here when he comes. If we are, we're in for some difficulties, protected by the Lord through it all. But I believe the rapture occurs before this. Unbelievers will finally put their trust in this Antichrist to their doom. They will end up in hell, no question. Now, there will be some believers, some people who become believers. They'll not be part of the church, but they will become believers. And they are going to be open to a great deal of torment and perhaps even execution. There's a white horse and the red horse. This blood-red beast is ridden by a being who carries what has been referred to as the assassin's sword. Now, the slide may not be large enough for you to see, but if you see the rider on the white horse, he has a bow, but no arrow. That indicates he's coming to conquer, not by war, but by pleasant statements, by agreements, by peace. You'll notice the second person on the red horse has a sword. It is known as the assassin's sword. And this tells us that men will be fighting against men, kingdom against kingdom, and nation against nation. The earth will be a witness to an unprecedented time of murders, assassinations, bloodshed, and revulsion. Now, revolution. Now, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 and 8. You will hear, now that's where we are today. Jesus was speaking about the future, and he says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. We are hearing of the words of the wars, but the end is not here. It's coming. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Some of that's happening right now. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. That's happening now. It's going to be even worse. And all of these are the beginning of birth pains. So you know birth pains, they come, and they come mild at first, and then increase in intensity, and they come slow at first, and then increase in frequency. So we're going to see that the next. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. Is there not? Yes. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. They are coming. It's a time of tribulation. Praise be to God that it is limited to 7 years. 7 years. Now then, there's the white horse, the red horse, and then the black horse. Hunger is an awful experience. I'm not talking about the little pains of hunger that we get before a meal occasionally, but I'm talking about the kind of hunger that is gnawing at us, very painful. Every minute of the day, a sensation that is felt by those in war-torn and poverty-stricken places in the world today. There are people in Ukraine who are starving because their food supply has been cut off. There are people in North Vietnam and in China and in many other places throughout the world who are having a great deal of difficulty. There are probably people in our own country who are having difficulty with starvation, and it's a deep-seated kind of starvation. When the conditions of the black horse are upon the earth, thousands, if not millions, of people go hungry. They will be forced to be in a position to do absolutely anything they can to get food. Even in our present world, we see that. We keep hearing on the news that in the future couple of months, many years, we're going to have a great food shortage. Well, we're going to be hungry. We're going to be looking. We're not as hungry as those will be during the tribulation period, but it's going to be a terrible, terrible time due to extreme hunger. And then the last horse is the pale horse. The previous three horsemen have brought with them a worldwide false peace, a new world dictator, a new world order, many battles, wars, and bloodshed, and then great hunger. And this is not a pretty scenario, yet it's all going to come to pass. Only the Word of God gives us accurate information about what's going to happen in the future, even down to the last days of life on earth as we know it. Dr. Charles Swindoll wrote these words. In this terrifying scene, John saw the grim reaper and the grave digger moving together across the face of the earth. Death slays the body while Hades swallows up the soul. These two figures symbolize the massive numbers of death that will follow in the wake of the first three horsemen. One quarter of the world's population will be lost in their rampage. It's hard for us to believe that this kind of judgment is coming on the earth, but it is. There are pestilences coming, and there are plagues coming. I think we've experienced a plague. We've experienced a pestilence. Whether it's a pestilence and plague of the New Testament variety or not, I do not know. But we know what happened, and it spread worldwide, and it affected us, affected almost every family everywhere throughout the world. We can see how quickly it'll come. We can see how pervasive it will be. I think it's clear that Satan, the Antichrist, would not like nothing better than have a world totally inundated with a plague or a pestilence to draw people to themselves, to say, we are in need, we need help, and they're going to refer and look to him. I think that this is what Satan would love to have, a worldwide plague. We've been looking at the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Why are we delving into this first of nine important tribulation signs? Simply this. As believers in and followers of Jesus, we need to be ready for his return. We also need to be awaiting his return, looking forward with anticipation to his return. We need to do our part to witness in such a way to our family members and friends that they too will be caught up in the rapture and they will not be left behind. God did not provide this information in the book of Revelation for us to ignore it. And as I said, he didn't provide it to scare us. He provided us for us to know, so that we will know from a biblical perspective, from a divine perspective, all that's going to happen. Question for you. Are you prepared? Are you waiting for the trumpet sound? Are you looking forward to the time of being with Jesus? There's only one way for you to be prepared. I'm speaking to all of us today, regardless of how young or old we are. There's only one way to be prepared, and that's to fully place all your trust in Jesus as Savior, who he is, the Son of God, God in human form, and what he did. He died on the cross to pay for your sin and yours and mine. He paid for our sin. You and I could never pay it, but he did. Praise be to God. And all we need to do is put our trust in him. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. You're the only one who could be my Savior. I now put my trust in you. I invite you by the power of your Spirit to come into my life and make me the kind of person you want me to be. Many years ago, I gave a friend of mine the book called The Late Great Planet Earth, written by Hal Lindsey. When Hal Lindsey wrote that, it was the first book in publication that sold millions and millions and millions of copies, and it told all about what we were talking about this morning. I gave it to my friend for the purpose of him knowing what was coming. Second purpose was for him to put his trust in Jesus as Savior. He read the book, and he said, I didn't like it. The author paints a very black picture. And indeed, he did. But there was something very white about the picture, if I can use that term, very good about the picture. The picture was putting your trust in Jesus, because that's the way the book concluded. Sadly, my friend did not do that. I prayed years later that he would before he left this earth. I pray that you've placed all your trust in Jesus and you're believing in him as your Lord and Savior. And accordingly, when the heavenly trumpet blows, you will join millions of people and you will be going up to meet Jesus face to face. Amen? Amen. Father, I pray for an outpouring of your Spirit upon this congregation this morning. I pray that you will draw everyone, every single one of us, close to you. And if there is one, or if there are more than one, who've not put their full trust in you up till now, I pray, Lord, that they will. And no one will leave this place not assured of spending eternity with you. We praise you and thank you in our Savior's name. Amen.